Good morning and welcome to the East Tennessee Report, a public affairs program of the Journal Broadcast Group. My name is Frank Murphy. This morning, we welcome Eric Botts from Gentry Griffey Funeral Chapel in North Knoxville. Good morning, Eric. Thank you for coming.
Good morning, Frank. Thank you for having me.
I'm delighted that you're here this morning. Now, this is an issue that has been of interest to me, as it's been in the news a lot lately. Gentry Griffey Funeral Chapel is dealing with the increased demand in our modern society for cremations by building a new facility in your Fountain City plant, I guess, for lack of a better word. What is the proper terminology?
That's our Fountain City chapel. That's where we're located, right behind the Duck Pond in the heart of Fountain City.
Mm-hmm.
Been a staple there since 1948.
Okay, so people are very familiar. When you say Gentry Griffey Funeral Chapel, everybody knows where it is.
Correct.
And then when you announced plans to grow the business, because really, I mean, what choice do you have? Well, we need to get into that. It created a bit of a furor in the local media and with some of the citizens. So we're going to deal with that this morning as well. Let's start with the reason that there's you wanted to put a crematory in your place, the reason that the funeral industry is changing in 21st century America. What is the difference between now and a generation ago?
There's a couple of reasons. First reason, I would say, right off the top of my head, is the economy. Cremation is much more economical. It's an easier choice for families to make. Second is, you know, people are getting away from a lot of the tradition of the funeral too. Cremation has lots of options. It's not just basic direct cremation. You can have memorial services and actually have viewings and scattering services. But there's so many options that people are learning about and being educated about with cremation, and our industry is having to adapt to that. We're having to move forward and progress, and that's one of the reasons why I'm putting this crematory there at our facility, is to keep up with the trends and to be able to serve the Knoxville community.
Even some of the other funeral businesses in this area, I noticed, are changing their names to say funerals and cremations.
Absolutely.
Now, to me, it's all part of the same thing. I mean, you can have a funeral and a cremation, like you can have a funeral and a burial. You wouldn't, in the past, you wouldn't have put on your sign funerals and burials.
Right.
You know, but I guess for some reason in modern day times, people disassociate funerals and cremations. Why is that?
People are very traditional in Tennessee, and cremation is really just now becoming accepted,
mm-hmm.
Especially in different religious groups. It's becoming
well. All right,
accepted.
I'm Catholic, let's say, mm-hmm. And I know because I've looked it up, mm-hmm. that it's been acceptable for Catholics to be cremated for about the past 40 years,
right?
Maybe 50, 45 years now, mm-hmm. But not everybody realizes that. I didn't realize it until I looked it up recently, because we all have this old school mentality that my parents and my grandparents and my great-grandparents passed on the word, nope, Catholics are supposed to be buried in the ground. That's what we want. That's mm-hmm. But my mother's pastor died. He was cremated, and they put his ashes in a memorial garden there on the church grounds.
At the church.
They built
mm-hmm.
a church, not exactly a columbarium. Pardon me for throwing out a big word. That's a columbarium is where you store ashes. But they built a memorial garden
right
there at the church.
A lot of churches are accepting cremation, and they're adapting their campuses just
yeah.
for that. They're building columbariums. They're also building scattering gardens.
I think there's
beautiful.
A parish in Lenore City that has
there is.
Either a columbarium or a memorial garden.
Nice labyrinths to where families can scatter ashes, plant trees, plant flowers in memorial of their loved one.
All right. Now we're speaking with Eric Botts of Gentry Griffey Funeral Chapel in North Knoxville. Obviously, I'm familiar with the Catholic tradition and how that has changed over time and how that is cremation is now acceptable in that way. But most people in this area are honestly not Catholic. Most people in this area are Baptist mm-hmm. or other
right.
Protestant denomination. What is the difference in acceptance of cremations in other Christian traditions?
There's really not much of a difference in acceptance. It's just differences in how the services are carried out. Different religions, different denominations do different types of services, and it's basically there's not that much difference in traditional, you know, funeral services or cremation memorial services.
Mm-hmm.
It's all in the disposition that the family chooses.
Right. Okay. So let's talk through a typical situation where you have a loved one who passes away. Mm-hmm. You can still have everything that you used to have, if you wanted, you could still have a wake, a viewing, a visitation, a receiving of friends. Mm-hmm. And then instead of the burial, the body just goes to the crematory.
Exactly. Instead of having the traditional burial service at the graveside, the body is cremated. And then after the cremation takes place, the ashes can be kept, can be scattered, or can be buried.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, I guess the reason that maybe people of my generation think differently of it is I've been to, many of us have been to funerals where the cremation has already occurred.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I'm ready to go to the, I go to the funeral home for the receiving of friends, and you see that there's no casket there,
right,
just the urn, because they've done it in the opposite order. That is fairly traditional as well?
It is. Most people that want to do cremation and memorial services go that route. But what we're trying to do is educate people that there are other options. You know, cremation can be very traditional. We can have the wake, the viewing of the body, the funeral service, and this is just cremation afterwards instead of burials.
And again, in my faith, the one thing that is still required is the ashes have to be buried.
Correct.
But in many other people, and a lot of people, you talk about famous celebrities who want to have their ashes scattered or sent into space or built into fireworks or all these other different things, made into pendants. What are some other ways that you would deal with as someone who wanted their ashes scattered, let's say?
Scattering is basically up to the family and their preference. There are certain places that regulates that you're not supposed to scatter ashes. But, for instance, I had a family that I served that owned a beach home in right outside of Wilmington, North Carolina.
Okay.
And they purchased an urn from me that is a rock. And they took the ashes, placed them inside that rock, and had a burial service on the beach in front of their beach home.
Oh, that's nice.
I've also seen scatterings on private property or golf courses. There's been different types of scattering services that we've taken part in.
Now, I'll be upfront about this. I have toured a crematory, not yours, one of the other ones in this area, and I've seen what I thought was an interesting new twist. They had a thing called the Earth Urn, which was a biodegradable, I guess it's technically a cardboard box, but it looks a lot fancier than that. I guess a biodegradable urn for the person who wants the green funeral. And I think that maybe a lot of people who are cremated are doing it perhaps for ecological reasons as well. Can you talk to us a little bit about that green urn or whatever, earth urn type situation?
We do sell urns that are biodegradable.
This particular one that I saw was for at sea burial, I think.
Exactly. It's actually encompasses the ashes, and when it's placed in water, it degrades. Mm-hmm. It just dissolves into the water. We do have several different urn choices like that could either be buried or put into the water.
Which, in my opinion, is a lot more respectful and better than what you see in every comedy movie where, you know, they open up the urn
and it just
blows back into your face like baby powder, and it's just, you know, okay. That's not the way it really is it?
Right. It's not at all. And let's go back to the ecological part of this. I mean, cremation is very, very environmentally safe. That used to be the reason people chose cremation, was because that before green burials had really caught on, this was the environmentally safe way, the green way to dispose of bodies.
Right, you're not taking up as much space
with
a metal casket or a stone burial vault, or
correct,
just, you know, your 6 feet of real estate is not occupied.
Correct.
Okay. And now, all right, well, let's get into it then with the Gentry Griffey Funeral Chapel in Fountain City, and we're talking with Eric Botts. The ecological angle, the green angle of cremation, is one of the excuses I'll use, one of the erroneous excuses that many people who objected to the idea, the not-in-my-backyard type crowd, objected to having a crematory in their area. Before we hear your side of it, because I already know what your side is, just for a moment, tell me how you understand, or what you understand would be someone's concern about putting any type of funeral facility in their neighborhood.
I've heard...
I mean, obviously, you're going to be sympathetic to their needs, but you also need to educate them as to what the deal is.
Exactly. I've heard many misconceptions, many different uninformed problems that crematories cause that really aren't there. Mercury mm-hmm. being one. Mercury probably the one I've heard the most.
Meaning this is we're talking about what is emitted
in into the
chimney.
Air. Correct. Okay. Yeah. Mercury, smoke, odor. The truth of the matter is these machines are one of the most efficient incinerators made. There's no visible smoke or emissions.
But that's because the technology has changed
and improved.
The technology
has evolved so much, especially in the past 10 years.
Okay, because I'll be one of them. My wife went to college, which is well over 10 years ago. No offense, dear. she lived in Harrisonburg, Virginia, next to a crematory. That's where her dorm house was. And they could tell. I mean, you knew when it was in operation because there was smoke and there was odor. But that's the 1980s. That
right.
is a long time ago, and things have changed considerably. How so?
The new retorts, and when I say retort, that's the crematory itself. The crematory burns under a two-burning chamber system, also an after-burning system, and also an opacity monitoring system. I'll explain a little bit. Probably the biggest, the most efficient system in that machine is the opacity monitoring system. Basically, it monitors the release stack.
Okay.
And if there's any emissions sensed, the machine shuts itself down. So it's very regulated. The machine mm-hmm. regulates itself, basically.
Yeah. So because you've got, obviously, the EPA and you've got everybody.
Correct.
I don't want to say breathing down your back, but
we're very heavily regulated.
Right. Okay. And obviously, if cremations are on the rise all across the country and we haven't heard any problems, mm-hmm. something must be going right with the funeral business and the cremation business in general nationwide.
That's correct. And I saw a figure this morning, actually, that there are 45 crematories in the state of Tennessee, and all but six are located in residential or commercial areas, just like where we're zoned in Fountain City.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there are not complaints.
So really, there's no difference between a body coming to you for traditional embalming versus cremation. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, there's you're still talking about a deceased person is arriving at your facility.
Mm-hmm.
You have to deal with them either with chemicals for the embalming or with fire for the cremation. And you know, it all happens right there. It's been happening there for some, 50, 60 years?
It's been there since 1948.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to do the math in my head really quick. So that's 64 years?
Correct.
Okay. And never a problem to this point?
No, sir. No problems up until I decided to take on this project.
All right. So what must you have thought? We're talking with Eric Botts, who is the manager of Gentry Griffey Funeral Chapel in Fountain City. And this situation was in the news because, you know, you built, you announced your plans and things are going along fine until somebody speaks up at a meeting. And all of a sudden you realize you've got a situation on your hands mm-hmm. where people are writing into the newspaper saying they don't want a cremation facility in Fountain City because somehow it's going to ruin the duck pond.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's going to be traffic. Really, seriously, is there a lot of sightseeing at crematories? I wasn't aware.
not to my knowledge.
I wasn't aware of any.
We have had several people, circle the parking lot here lately.
Well, I appreciate that you're able to keep a sense of humor about it, too.
I try to, yeah.
But what was it like that day when all of a sudden, either you read in the newspaper or you get online and you see that people are just, speaking, unfortunately, incorrectly about your business, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden you are in the news. How does that feel?
Well, it was Frank, I woke up and it was, a new challenge. And the challenge is informing people, putting the correct information out there for people to read and to soak in and not to listen to these untruths, these other facts that are really incorrect. We've put the information out there. I've spoke at a couple of meetings, and we also started a website, knoxcremations.com.
Which I see is it's a very nice, it's really, I'll call it almost a plain text site because
very
it's just
simple.
It's just, like in Dragnet, just the facts, ma'am.
That's absolutely what we want to put out there is just the facts.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, and some of the facts that you are pointing out is stuff we've already spoken about a little bit, but mainly about the environmental friendly aspect of cremations where there's no smoke, there's no odor. All of that stuff is captured or even reburned by the process,
mm-hmm.
right?
Correct.
Okay. So when someone is cremated, really all that's left are the they're reduced down to bone.
It's reduced down to the bone fragments.
Yeah, and then those are processed and created to what? Because really, the ashes is sort of an old time, you know, ashes to ashes, dust to dust terminology. When in reality, what you're giving back to the family are the person's bones that
have been the fine, coarse. Yeah. Bone fragments that have been processed.
Right, processed down so that they fit into the urn.
Correct.
And stuff like that. And that's why, you know, you want to treat them with respect. It's not, and that's, you know, as I mentioned earlier, that's always been a little bit of a sore point for me when I see that, you know, played for laughs in movies like Meet the Parents and stuff like that.
Right, yeah. We treat cremation just as respectful as we do traditional burials. It's someone's loved one that we're taking care of, and that's their decision to be cremated, and it's perfectly acceptable, and we're going to honor their wishes just as we would anybody else's.
Okay. So what then is the next step for Gentry Griffey? At what point in the process are you right now with the construction of the crematory?
The facility itself is about 2 weeks away from being completed. The crematory manufacturer, B&L Cremation, will be here on Thursday and Friday to turn on the machine, to tune up the machine, and then the state board will come by next week and inspect us along with the Knox County Air Quality Control Office. Once I have the go-ahead from them, then we will be up and operational.
Now, how do you test a crematory? I mean, which is the name of the oven. And how do you test the machine, the retort?
Well, the machine itself, when it's tested by the Knox County Air Quality Control, they will come out and just monitor emissions. And
okay.
I'm not familiar as how they do that, but they do have a way of monitoring the
and
emissions.
When you buy the machine, it's got all sorts of dials and knobs on the side
Correct.
Of it that tell you.
The machine is digital. It's computerized, and it records all data from the machine, including the opacity, the emissions.
Okay. So the process then, when someone who has passed arrives at the crematory, is a fairly quick process, or what's exactly involved?
When a person passes away, they're brought to our facility and held there until I can meet with the family. Before I can cremate a body, I have to have two permits signed. The first permit is from the family, from the legal next of kin, and that's an authorization form that basically gives me permission to cremate their loved one. And the second permit is a permit from the county in which the person passes away in, from their medical examiner and from their health department. Once I've attained those two permits, then the cremation process can take place. Usually all this can occur within 48 hours at the most.
Okay. Now, if someone wanted to have a viewing of the deceased before the cremation, does that take place where?
It takes place in our facility. We're building one of the most state-of-the-art facilities in the state of Tennessee, and we will have a viewing room where family can view the loved one.
Because a lot of people need that for closure.
They do need that for closure.
Right.
I'm beginning to see that more and more. And we will also have a viewing room for the retort itself. I've ran across lots of families. I ran a crematory at one of my other funeral homes for 10 years and running across families that want to view the cremation itself. So we're going to have a room adjacent to the crematory facility that people can view
through
the cremation.
Window.
Through the window, they can view the cremation itself.
I've seen a crematory where there was a button. In some, I wish I could tell you which religion, but in some religious traditions, the eldest child needs to ignite.
Oldest son. That's the Hindu faith.
Oh, tell me about that.
And what you're talking about is a remote switch, and we will have one of those as well.
So let's say someone of the Hindu faith is about to be cremated. Mm-hmm. The eldest son is on the other side of the glass.
The men of the family actually take the body to the crematory itself.
Oh, really?
And put it in, and I'll allow them. It's actually the oldest son is who turns the machine on itself.
So this is similar to the ancient tradition where they would build. I mean, we all. If you were old like me and you read history books, you might remember Mahatma Gandhi's funeral, where he's laid out there and on a pyre, and the son, you know, takes a torch and they light it right there out in
right.
plain sight. Well, you don't do that anymore. You now have modern technology, but still, the
is
tradition.
How their religion has adapted to the cremation process,
and use your machine, but they touch the button and turn
still,
it on.
They operate it themselves.
Mm. Beautiful. I think that's actually very touching.
I do too. I've seen many, many services like that, and it's pretty emotional.
We're talking with Eric Botts of the Gentry Griffey Funeral Home and Chapel in Fountain City about the funeral process. And one thing that I've noticed over the course of the past 5-10 years is the amazing to me number of people who are so uncomfortable talking about funerals and matters of death. And it's almost as if death has become less and less a part of our lives. Because if you go back in time, again, I'm a fan of things that are old. Mm-hmm. You know, I've toured old homes, and I'm thinking of one I toured in New England. It was an old house. Actually, you know whose house it was? It was General Knox, the man for whom Knox mm-hmm. County is named. So I went and toured a replica of his house in Maine. We got to one part of the house, and they said, well, this room was used to view the deceased. Mm-hmm. He had in his house, it was a big house, of course, but he had one room that they said, well, they didn't use this room that often, except when somebody died. Because it had a back entrance, you know, for the family to get mm-hmm. in and get out of. It had an entrance to the parlor for the mm-hmm. guests to come in and come out of. I said they would put the body here and have it right here in the home. And that was obviously in the 1700s.
Well, you know, that tradition carried on up until the 60s, the 70s. I can't remember, but my dad and my grandfather, I'm third generation funeral director, and they tell me stories about taking bodies to the home.
Yeah.
And that happened all the time. That was the norm.
Right.
Until it really was the norm until funeral homes started building
chapels. Which are called funeral. It used to be called funeral home.
Right.
Because it
right.
was like a home. You'd mm-hmm. you feel like
exactly.
you're going into somebody's house.
And when funeral homes started building chapels and adding kitchens to their facilities is when people started bringing the visitation into the facility itself.
So, all right, so that we're talking probably a previous generation to us. That would probably go right. back to the earlier 20th century, right?
Well, the funeral homes that I'm associated with, they started putting chapels in the 70s, the
okay.
late 60s, early 70s.
All right.
So,
and things started changing where the death process became more removed.
Removed from the home.
People didn't die in the home. People used to die at home, mm-hmm. and now they die in the hospital. So you don't see that happening.
Well, actually, you've seen a big surge of hospice now. And hospice, I have to say, is one of the best organizations that I've ever worked with. And they basically allow the process of dying at home to be easier on the families. Because a lot of people don't want to pass away in a hospital. They don't want to pass away in a nursing home. So hospice allows for the loved one to be at home. They take care of the loved one. They also help the family through the death, the dying process.
So this is another change, another mm-hmm. major change in the process of life and death
right.
over the course of our lifetimes.
Hospice is one of the biggest changes to the death industry in the past 10 years.
Wow.
It really is.
And for the better.
And I have to give them credit. They are great people. They do a great service to these families.
Well, I mean, let's think about it, though. I mean, even if we are uncomfortable when someone close to us dies, we still want to be remembered ourselves. How much of the onus is on the person to plan their own funeral? And, you know, is it someone who becomes terminally ill that starts thinking about the funeral?
No, it's not. We've seen a big influx in our industry of people prearranging their funerals. And
like I told my wife what songs I want her to sing at my funeral.
Well, that's part of it.
And she says she's not going to do it.
That's part of it. But even further than that, we have a lot of people that come in and they want to go ahead and pick out their casket, or they want to choose cremation. They want to choose their memorial service, mm-hmm. pick out their urn. And
yeah.
also, a lot of people choose to pre-fund it as well, and this eliminates several burdens off of your family
yeah.
When something does happen to you.
See, my family has been always very open and upfront about people dying, and we've had a few people in my family who died earlier than they were probably supposed to. You know, my father died at 50 years old. It kind of mm-hmm. caught us off guard. But I just, you know, I had to deal with it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I went to the funeral home and with my mother, and it was just what you do. I mean, it didn't seem terrible to me. I mean, I guess it's sad that he passed away, but the dealing with it was something that I was familiar with because my grandparents brought me to funerals since I was 10 years old when Aunt Margaret died. You know, I mean, it was just one of the old, you know, my great Aunt Margaret, I've been to funerals every couple of years, so it was not a new thing when my father passed away. I was familiar with what the basic, you know, gist of it was.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you an advantage, though, that you would have had in prearranging is it eliminates making these decisions in a very, very emotional and distressed time.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times when you come in, you're emotional. You may overspend. You may forget something that your loved one would have appreciated for that service. So prearranging, even though as difficult as it sounds to talk about, you know, dying and talk about burying your mom or your dad or your wife or your husband, it's smart to sit down and talk about.
Oh, if I had to do it over, I would have gotten him a cheaper casket. I mean, if you want to be honest. But, you know, we had to save money in other ways,
right?
Because he was entitled to a military burial, so mm-hmm. we didn't have to pay for a grave plot or anything like that.
Right.
So we saved money in other areas, so we ended up spending too much on the casket. And, you know. But this is you know, almost 30 years ago, so
yeah.
Things are, I now know a lot more than
well,
I even
and,
did
and,
back
and
then.
You said 30 years ago, that brings up another fact. Funeral prices, they double about every 10 to 15 years. So prearranging these funerals goes ahead and locks in the cost. You get to pay for a funeral at today's prices, and they're good. We honor those prices 10, 15, 20 years from now.
Wow. All right. So when you have to deal with someone, we're talking, by the way, with Eric Botts of Gentry Griffey Funeral Home. When you deal with someone who is just completely healthy, ready to talk about their own situation, they're just the type of person who makes their will and does all the right things. Mm-hmm. But realistically, you know, most of us don't do that.
Right.
So then what do you do in that other situation when you're caught off guard?
We accommodate families. I try to make...
Not you. You're not caught off guard. I mean, the family is caught off guard.
The family is caught off guard, but we try to make this process as easy as possible on the family. I mean, I walk them through every step of the way of the dying process and try to make sure that they're comfortable with the decisions that they make. And I make sure to try to lay out every option on the table for them to make sure that they are you know, satisfied with what they choose.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Eric, what do you think then is going to happen? And I guess I'm asking for you, probably your, I suspect, optimistic prediction mm-hmm. of once your new crematory is up and running in Fountain City and the neighbors, you know, have lived with it mm-hmm. for 6 months to a year. I mean, what is your anticipation that will happen?
I think the crematory is going to be up and running, and people in the Fountain City community are not even going to know it's there. They're not going to be able to see any visible emissions. They're not going to have any odors. The duck pond will be just as pretty in a year as it is right now.
Mm-hmm.
Litton's will taste just as good
yeah.
next year as it does right now. But we're excited. I'm excited. Jerry Griffey is excited to provide this service to the community.
Because there is a demand for it.
There is a demand for it, and we will be the only funeral home in Knox County to be able to offer cremation on-site. We're the only funeral home that will have an on-site crematory. And like I said, we're so excited to be able to provide this to our families.
Well, why is that important? What is the difference between having it on-site versus not?
It's just the peace of mind of knowing that your loved one doesn't have to be removed from the facility and taken miles away to a crematory that's not there, not on site. The other advantage is you get to shake my hand and look me in the eye and know that I'm the person that's going to take care of your loved one.
Very firm handshake for a funeral director, by
Absolutely.
The way. I just like to mention that.
Thank you.
No stereotype there. You know, because that's the old, oh, so sorry for your loss.
You the old cold hands.
That's a cartoon character pretty much,
right.
Isn't it?
Right. It
yeah.
is. Yeah.
So when someone your age is a funeral director, is that how do your contemporaries deal with that? Or when you were your third generation, so mm. when you were in college, what did you tell your frat brothers?
They thought I was crazy. You either kind of have to be born into this business or be crazy one to get into it. But it is a service business, and
it's 24/7.
It is 24/7. I love business, and that's I went to UTC and studied business, but I love people. And this is the perfect mix of the two because I get to serve people in their, you know, some of their toughest hours, and I get to help them and guide them through that. And it really is a ministry for me. I enjoy serving these families.
I like that word. Mm-hmm. That's interesting because obviously, you know, every one of us is going to pass at some point. We're all going to die, and something has to be done with our remains.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether you choose burial or cremation or are there any other alternatives I'm forgetting? I know there's new types of green burial you can do.
The green burial hasn't really caught on.
That's like an Asheville, North Carolina type of thing, isn't it?
It's big in North Carolina. It's big in California, Nevada. But green burial is we're far away from green burial here in
so
East
most,
Tennessee.
Most people are doing the traditional in the ground burial.
Burials and cremation.
And you can mark this down. That's what I want. I want to be exhumable.
Gotcha.
So whatever happens, They can dig me up and check, and you know, get CSI involved. Whatever has to happen, you can tell them I'm fine with that. Exhume me as many times as necessary.
Okay, we'll keep that in mind.
Yeah. Whereas many people now prefer the more permanent disposition of scattering of ashes,
of cremation. Yeah.
Cremation. Yeah.
It's definitely our industry is trending that way. People are becoming more adept to the cremation concept, and that's why we're putting the crematory in so I can serve those needs.
Our guest this morning has been Eric Botts, the manager of the Gentry Griffey Funeral Home in Fountain City. He's got that website you can look at. Really, it's just a basic website about the facts of cremation at knoxcremations.com. You can also find Gentry Griffey online at gentrygriffeyfuneralchapel.com, which is probably easier to Google, like I did, so we can answer all your questions there. Eric, we appreciate your coming in this morning.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
This is the East Tennessee Report, a public affairs program of the Journal Broadcast Group. My name is Frank Murphy. We'll talk to you again next Sunday.